Hey, everybody. It's the Charlie Kirk Show. Matt Walsh joins us about his new show, Judged. Mike Collins about the Lakin-Riley bill. And then we go into how undecided voters are upset with Joe Biden on the economy. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Start a high school and college chapter today at tpusa.com. Become a member at members.charliekirk.com. That is members.charliekirk.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here. Noble Gold Investments is the official gold sponsor of the Charlie Kirk Show, a company that specializes in gold IRAs and physical delivery of precious metals. Learn how you could protect your wealth with Noble Gold Investments at NobleGoldInvestments.com. That is NobleGoldInvestments.com. It's where I buy all of my gold. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com. Joining us now is Congressman Mike Collins from Georgia's 10th Congressional District. Congressman, welcome to the program. You have an announcement that you want to talk about, and talking about Lakin-Riley. Walk us through it.
Well, you know, and I appreciate you having me on, Charlie, because this is a very good, solid piece of legislation. This is policy. And, you know, while this Lakin-Riley Act is not going to solve immigration, what it's going to be able to do, though, is it's going to give a tool to local law enforcement to where they can contact ICE and get these people down here and get them detained and deport these illegal criminals that have been invading our countries. And you know, it just wreaking havoc all across the country. And in this case, this particular case, this Ibarra was picked up a few days earlier in Athens, Georgia, for shoplifting and cited. But if we'd have had the Lakin-Riley Act into effect as law, they would have been able to call ICE immediately and get him detained and deported. And, you know, Charlie, I heard on your segment before that you were talking about abiding by laws and which laws they were picking and choosing. And I think this is such a perfect example of people picking and choosing laws that they want to abide by, because that mayor and that sheriff up there were treating Athens, Georgia as a sanctuary city. And sanctuary cities are illegal in Georgia. And until we realize that we are a nation of laws and this country will, cannot stand unless we abide by those laws and we prosecute these people who are not abiding by them, well, you're right. We're losing this country.
So if Athens was operating illegally as a sanctuary city, can't the Attorney General Chris Carr go and indict them or impanel a grand jury to try to arrest the mayor or the people that were doing this illegally?
You know, Charlie, I hope that the state of Georgia is turning over every rock and using every tool that they have in order to get rid of that mayor. Because, you know, I've been calling on him to resign since day one. If he had an ounce of honor, he would have already resigned. But these people think they're above the law. They think that they are emboldened by what they have been seeing from this the Biden administration, as a matter of fact, and just allowing people to stream across the border. Even this guy picked up, paroled, and Mayorkas and them just let him go out there, you know, free to take his criminal enterprise all across the country. He started out in New York City. But until we start, and we've got a panel that's in place in Georgia to take a look at these DAs that are not prosecuting these people. But this is all across the country, even just like you said in Arizona. If we're not going to take up and abide by the laws of this country, we're going to lose it.
And so Mike, that's right. And I'm afraid we are losing it currently. I wanted to zero in on this Lakin-Riley story. What about this particular story do you think why it went so viral and resonated so deeply? And I say this because I don't want to forget the other victims of illegals that have been killed, whether in DUIs or murders. It's happening daily. But this story, I think it was because this was a young lady with such promise, with such hope, that was following the
you know,
please, I'd love your thoughts.
Well, you're right there. And I think it's two reasons. Number one is people like you and media across this country that are helping us keep this on the front page and keep it front and center. But Charlie, we all can relate to this family's grieving because I've got a 26-year-old daughter. You either have kids that are growing up, you've got nieces and nephews, you know people that grew up and they go off to college and you worry about them. You worry about them from the day they're born, but you think you're sending them off to a safe location, somewhere that they can chase their dream. And you're right. This lady, this young lady was wanted to be a nurse to serve the community out there and help. And her life was just brutally taken from her. And there's no reason for it. This guy shouldn't have never have been in the country, period. But he was. And it is due to the failures of this administration, and people across the country can relate to it. And that's why I'm encouraging everybody. We've been over in the Senate. We've got 46 of 49 Republicans already signed onto this thing. This bill went through the House in less than a week and picked up 37 Democrats. So it came out of the House bipartisan. We're over there now. We're talking to Democrats. I need folks to be calling their U.S. senators, Republican or Democrat, doesn't matter. Call them and tell them to sign on.
I'm Raphael Warnock and John Ossoff, where are they on this, Congressman?
Well, you know, we've talked to both of them. Warnock had some questions about how much this was going to put on ICE. And Charlie, you know, like I do, if we can stop these people at these lesser crimes, and all we did with this bill was add burglary and theft to the list of criminal activity that the local law enforcement can call ICE and get them in there and detain them. If we can stop them at these lesser crimes, it's not going to escalate to things like murder. This guy would have been gone. So the workload on ICE is already there. They want to do their job. And you start arresting these people for lesser crimes and then shipping them out of here, that in itself is a deterrence. But and of course, Ossoff, he's still looking at it. I think he wanted to start over with his own bill. And I understand those reasons. But this is a good, solid piece of legislation. This is not politics.
Well, no, I agree. And John Ossoff, I mean, I'm going to say something political. He's in cycle in 2026. And
I think you hit the nail on the head.
Yeah, I think John Ossoff knows that he's in a red state. And I want to talk to you about that. That is getting its act together. And there's these two Democrat senators that snuck in. We're going to fix that error. I want to ask you politically on the ground, the Lake and Riley story. I think it was damaging to Joe Biden in Georgia. I think that he lost hundreds of thousands of potential voters over this story. Do you agree?
Oh, I agree 100%. This just hits home. It's the University of Georgia. You know, that in itself is an institution that most of Georgia relates to. Either they went to the school, they know people that went to that school, and they relate, they know the trail that she was on. I can't tell you how many people have come up to me and said, I used to jog on that trail, and not anymore. So it's really resonated in our state.
Let's talk then about Georgia coming into November. Joe Biden got the electoral votes from Georgia back in 2020. He received them. I like Donald Trump's chances in Georgia. Where do you think his chances are politically on the ground? It seems as if voter registration is going well. Give us an update on how we're looking Trump v. Biden v. RFK this November in Georgia.
Well, I'll tell you, Charlie, I started out with President Trump back in Iowa, froze my tail off out there. And then I went with him to New Hampshire, South Carolina, and Georgia. And I'm not just talking the talk, but I saw the groundswell. And from the time that we left South Carolina to the time we went to Rome, Georgia, I got to that facility at around 1:30 for a 5:30 event. You couldn't pack another person in that place. So the energy is through the roof. As a matter of fact, I was behind Trump solidly, maxed out to the guy every time, but I was behind him way back before he was ever the nominee for 2016. So I've been with him the whole time. And to see the energy on the ground in the state of Georgia and how it has built, he's going to win the state of Georgia. We've done some things. We still need to do some things in Georgia. I would love to get rid of those machines. And it'd make my day if we just called Florida and asked them where they ordered their ballots from and get us some. But until then, we need the RNC. And I'm so glad that Laura Trump is co-chairing that, because they're going to hire enough people to get out there. We've got other organizations. You know them like I do. And we're going to be stomping. We're going to be hitting the ground. We're going to be registering people. Yes. We're going to make sure that people understand that we have election season and not election day, and get out there and vote early.
Well, and to reiterate that, Georgia, I think there was a little bit of a taking it for granted in 2020. It wasn't worked as deep as it should have been. I think you would agree. There was kind of, oh, Trump's going to win. Purdue will go to a runoff. Loeffler will go to a runoff. And all of a sudden, we kind of were sabotaged, right? We did, and we're not going to let that happen again. So the 30 seconds, tell our audience about how they can contact and support. So the call to action is get your senators to support the Lake and Riley bill. Is that correct?
That's correct. Whether the Republican or Democrat, senators are a much closer group, smaller group. Contact your U.S. senator. Tell them we understand this is not going to fix immigration 100%. We'll do that come November, unless Biden puts in those executive orders. But call them and tell them this is good, solid policy.
Love it.
Good legislation. And we need the help.
Mike Collins, thanks so much. Appreciate it. It's not a question if something is coming. It's when. The only shock, the what. While you still have some control, what are you going to do about it? Your first step is going to MyPatriotSupply.com. Your next step is stocking up on multiple one-week emergency food kits from My Patriot Supply. Priced under $50, it is now time to buy in bulk. My Patriot Supply is equipped to help you prepare. They've helped over 2 million families already. These one-week kits with Ready Hour Foods provide over 2,000 calories every day, and they're sealed inside a rugged ammo can so they can last up to 25 years in storage. Just grab it and go in emergencies. Get these kits for under $50 this week, only at MyPatriotSupply.com. That is MyPatriotSupply.com, MyPatriotSupply.com.
The reason I was so clear about the abortion topic is this is really all they have. It really is the only topic that they have to run on and get people upset. Now, I will say that there's a fair amount of pro-lifers out there that we have to chase ballots and we can maximize our support with. There was a shocking panel this morning on MSNBC, shocking, where they went around the horn. I think that's John Halperin, if I'm not mistaken, one of their political reporters at MSNBC, and starts asking swing voters in Pennsylvania and other states, would Donald Trump's policies or Joe Biden's policies be better for you? We divided this into a couple pieces. Let's play cut 85 first.
Raise your hand if you think President Trump's policies on the economy would be better for your family personally. Raise your hand. All right. So that is everybody.
Almost every single hand goes up. Let's go to cut 86.
What are you keying off of to say President Trump's economic policies would be better for you?
I mean, my past performance of my 401k, I know it was post 2020 and everything kind of flipped around, but you can't blame everything on 2020 for forever.
We have areas here in Pennsylvania where it's just at a standstill right now. Like, things are supposed to be being built and the interest rates are just way too high for people to you know, invest and start moving.
Even if you're trying to buy a house, because I'm trying to become a first-time home buyer, the prices are so high right now. It's just hard.
And then finally, cut 87.
Is there anything Joe Biden could do or say between now and the time you vote that would make you feel differently about feeling that his policies would not be as good for your family on the economy? Or are you pretty much decided that Trump's policies would be better for the economy?
I mean, I feel like he doesn't even take accountability for what's at all with what's going on in the economy. Not even accountability. Like, he's in denial that it's happening.
Ooh, you do not want to hear voters say that. In denial that it's happening. And they want to run on a single issue. The economy does not get nearly as much attention as it should. Red hot inflation report came out. How is the Fed going to justify lowering rates? Jerome Powell came out a month and a half ago or a couple weeks ago and said, we're going to lower rates. Really, what is your data, Jerome Powell, to justify that you're going to lower rates? Oh, you're making a political decision to try to get Joe Biden another term. The inflation report today was not a good report for the country and not good for Joe Biden. The Dow is down 400 points. The inflation breakdown for March 2024. The consumer price index rose 3.5% March 2024 on an annual basis. That's up from 3.2% in February. Elevated housing inflation has kept the CPI reading stubbornly high. Gasoline prices also went up.
Inflation jumped in March. And understand, the way they calculate inflation is deceitful and is misleading. And dare I say, they are lying to you. When they say inflation is at 3.5%, it's really at 10 to 12%. They don't factor in things that you need for your family. Abortion is a shiny light that they rely upon to distract from myriads of other disasters. We must understand that the abortion issue is the one they want the entire 2024 election to be about. They want it to be a referendum on that. And look at this inflation report. In one chart, you have food up dramatically. You have motor vehicle insurance up 22%. That's one that you could really riff on. Just motor vehicle insurance is up 22.2%. Outpatient hospital services up 8.3%. Repair of household items up 18%. Parking fees and tolls up 5.3%. Garbage plus trash collection 5.8%. Moody Analytics says, quote, "The disinflation has stalled out. The big rock in the way here is the cost of shelter." Oh, the cost of shelter? You mean buying a home? They want 2024 to be an abortion referendum. The counter to this is to say simply, this is a state issue. Vote the way you want your state to go. And that's a huge victory for Trump. Respect the will of the people. Respect people's decision. Trump should be bragging, "I was able to make abortion stop being an all or nothing issue." And the vast majority of you agree. The emails I get say, "Charlie, I'm pro-life, but there are 100 other issues that I really care about. I want to make sure that we get political power." And we should want to get political power. You don't get political power, you have nothing. You're just a clamoring minority. Hey, everybody. Charlie Kirk here. What an unbelievable start to 2024. We had last month saving babies with preborn by providing ultrasounds. And we're doing again this year what we did last year. We're going to stand for life because remaining silent in the face of the most radically pro-death administration is not an option. As Sir Edmund Burke said, the only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing, and we're not going to do nothing. Your gift to preborn will give a girl the truth about what's happening in her body so that she can make the right choice. $280 can save 10 babies. $28 a month can save a baby a month all year long. And a $15,000 gift will provide a complete ultrasound machine that will save thousands of babies for years and years to come. And will also save moms from a lifetime of pain and regret. Call 833-850-2229. That's 833-850-2229, or click on the preborn banner at charliekirk.com. That is charliekirk.com, and click on the preborn banner. Also save moms from a lifetime of pain and regret. I'm a donor to this organization. They're terrific. Go to charliekirk.com, click on the preborn banner. Joining us now is the legendary Matt Walsh. Matt, welcome to the program. So Matt, I didn't anticipate having you on the program talking about your new job as a daytime judge. Tell us all about it, Matt.
Yeah, we just debuted my new show. It's called Judged by Matt Walsh. And it's, you know, it's kind of our foray into courtroom, into the courtroom genre. And, you know, they came to me with this idea where I could actually be a judge and preside over real legal cases and I have actual legal authority. It's pretty limited legal authority, but I do have some over the lives of these people that step into my courtroom. And as someone who's been accused of being judgmental pretty much my entire life, I figured it's a pretty natural, seems like a natural, career path for me, a career move.
Wait, so how does this work? Does like the local magistrate give you some authority? Are you a lawyer? Like, I mean, what's the process here that allows you to be somewhat of a judge?
It's not quite that official. I think it was. I'm still not quite accepted in actual legal circles. So these have to be people that come to us. It's generally people who would never be allowed to step foot in a real courtroom. And they come to us instead. Actually, the real genesis of this is that on my show, we used to like to go to the Reddit, Am I the A-hole forum, where people have their dilemmas wondering if they're the A-hole or not. And so the original idea was like, well, what if we took those cases on Reddit and did it as a court show? It's very high level art that we're producing here, I think.
Yeah. So let the trailer speaks for itself. Let's play cut 88.
All rise for the Honorable Judge Walsh. Please be seated.
Miss Goldstein. Mr. Bentley.
Yeah.
Mr. Outerbridge.
Miss Spicer.
Mr. Barney.
Yes, Your Honor.
Miss Singh.
Yes. At 30,000 feet, my lips exploded.
Why would I pay rent to somebody who had sex with my sister?
A dog bit my finger.
He's allergic, like the grass.
If he didn't want me to drive the car, he would have took the key. I had it with him.
Has anyone told you you're the worst negotiator that's ever lived?
I've never been more annoyed than I am in this moment.
Not even close.
That does it. Please get the hell out of my courtroom.
So the first episode will be free on YouTube, and then you have to get a Daily Wire Plus subscription to watch the rest. You know, Matt, when I think of you as very patient, understanding, empathetic, perfect for dispute resolution.
Oh, I appreciate that. I don't think anyone else in the world thinks of me that way, but I'm glad that you do at least. And I also figured that, look, I mean, you know, nobody in America is qualified for the jobs they're doing anymore, especially our leaders. So if that's the case, then hey, why can't I be a judge?
Well, I think it's terrific. So Matt, I want to make sure everyone's aware. This is the first season. How many episodes? And any other details regarding that you want the audience to be aware of?
Yeah, it's first season. We just debuted it. You can find it on the first episode's on YouTube right now. You can go to Daily Wire YouTube, or you can go to DailyWire.com, and that's where all the rest of the episodes will be streaming. We'll release one a week for the next several weeks.
So Matt, doing this first season, has your opinion of humanity improved, or is it, let's just say, diminished?
It would be hard for it to get any worse than it already was. It hasn't gotten better. I certainly cannot say that I've walked out of these cases feeling, you know, more optimistic about the future of humanity, but I also don't feel worse. So that's the good thing about being just incredibly pessimistic all the time, is that you can never be disappointed. I can never be disappointed again. I'm already, it's as low as it can get all the time.
Yeah, the expectations are in the gutter. And I'm just looking at the trailer with these people's, her lips blew up at 30,000 feet. I mean, the dispute resolution thing is quite amazing. So look forward to watching it and diving into it. So Matt, would love your clarity on kind of a debate that is raging on the right now regarding abortion. How should we think about it? What should we do? Matt Walsh, what is your perspective on this?
Well, I think, first of all, as I think most people know, I'm absolutely radically 100% pro-life, no exceptions. I think, and for the simple reason that it's the only logical and morally coherent position to take, is to be against all abortions, because we have two questions really when you think about the abortion issue. The first is, you know, is it always wrong to kill innocent, defenseless human beings? That's the first question. My answer to that question is yes. And the second question is an unborn human in the womb a human? Does that count as a human? And my answer to that is also yes, because if you don't say yes, then you're left with a third question. Okay, well, if it's not a human, then what is that creature in the womb? Is it some other species? Is there a stage of human development where a human being is not even a human? That doesn't really make any sense. And so I think, again, just kind of logically, you're left with the inescapable conclusion that abortion is always wrong because it's always the murder of a human being. And that's my position. So that's the position. Now, there's a second part of the question, which is the politics of it. And I understand that my position of being totally opposed to abortion in all cases is not the majority view of the American people. And it's probably not even a sizable minority at this point, because unfortunately, we live in a country where most people are okay with at least some amount of baby murder, which is a major indictment on our culture and a major problem in its own right. But it is the political reality. And so that's that. And it's sort of I have the advantage when I'm not a politician that I don't really have to navigate the political reality that, of course, politicians do.
Yeah. So, Matt, can you comment on the conservative movement and some Republicans that have been telling us they're pro-life and they're being revealed they're actually not very pro-life, especially in this last week, last couple of days, where people say, well, I'm not that pro-life. What's your comment on this?
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't surprise me, because this is, to some extent, this is what we've seen for decades now in the Republican Party. In fact, what we're being told right now is that the way to win elections is to moderate your position on abortion, is to be at least a little bit pro-abortion. And the thing is that's what those of us who've been in the pro-life movement for a long time, we know that we've been hearing that. This is not a new thing. It's not a new insight. This is what the Republican Party has been saying my entire life. They've been insisting that the only way to win elections is to basically, you know, forfeit the pro-life position to some extent. It doesn't seem to have worked out so far. And the other problem, too, is that, you know, what we're being told is that, okay, well, we have to treat it as a states' rights issue. Now, I don't agree with that. I think that, again, killing babies is always wrong, no matter what. And it shouldn't, you know, no state should have the right to kill babies. But if that is the position that a conservative takes, well, then it doesn't make any sense to then turn around and oppose the states that are outlawing it. Because you just, if your kind of way to navigate this is to say, well, make it states' rights. Well, then what happens when a state does outlaw it? If you turn around and oppose that too, well, then it appears that you're just pro-abortion. And that's some of what we're seeing in Arizona right now, where, you know, after the Supreme Court decision, a law is going to go into effect. It's not a federal law. It's a law in that particular state that's going to ban most abortions. And yet we have people on the right who appear to be opposed to that too, which doesn't make any sense to me if you're claiming that this is states' rights. Well, that's the state has the right to pass that law, don't they?
And it's been eye-opening to me because what should have been met with celebration, Matt, was met with retreat. And
exactly. That's
go ahead, please.
Yeah, that is the most frustrating thing for me. You know, the overturning of Roe v. Wade is one of the great victories for human rights that has ever been achieved in the history of human civilization. It's not an exaggeration. Was the overturning of that evil, ridiculous law or decision. And rather than doing what the left does, which is when they get a victory, they gloat about it, they celebrate, and then they immediately look for, like, what can we do next? How can we double down? Where do we take this next? What's the next victory? They're never satisfied. And instead, what we've done on the right, in many corners anyway, is we've responded by, we're embarrassed of the victory. We don't want to talk about it. We seem to be disappointed that it happened because it's politically inconvenient, and we're now retreating, kind of snatching defeat from the jaws of victory, which I think is one of the essential differences between the right and left.
Why do you think that is? Why does the left play to win and our side plays to comfortably lose?
I think some of it is just conditioning. This is the way conservatives have always been. And on this particular issue of abortion, I think that, you know, the right, generally speaking, has never tried the strategy of actually trying to effectively message on this issue. So again, my entire life, what I've been told is that the only way for Republicans to win is to moderate and run away and compromise on this. Well, there's another, you know, the idea of, like, let's go on offense. Let's take it to the other side. They are the ones who actually do support the murder of fully developed infants in the womb who could live outside of the womb. I don't think that matters in terms of whether it's okay to kill them. It's not okay in either case. But that is the mainstream Democrat position right now. And that should be the conversation. That should be what we're talking about. But we let them set the terms of the debate. Every time we talk about abortion, we have to talk about rape and incest, life of the mother. Let's talk about the 1%, less than 1% hard cases. That's all they want to talk about. They don't want to talk about the 99% of cases where abortion is used quite explicitly as a form of birth control. But we allow them. We allow them to escape by setting the terms of the debate in that way.
Matt Walsh is now a judge. I can't wait to watch it. I want to make sure the audience understands that Matt Walsh deserves more credit than anybody else on moving the Overton window on the trans topic. And I don't throw out praise lightly, but what you did for years, Matt, you were in this topic and in the weeds of it. I think we're seeing huge movement on that topic, and that actually might be a blueprint on the abortion topic. You were in the trenches. You were playing offense on it. And now the Democrats are afraid of the topic. Other countries are banning child mutilation. And Matt, you deserve a lot of credit for that. For years, I've been talking about how our nation's public schools have been captured by progressive ideologues, especially true if you're a Christian family. For those of you worried about the best educational path for your kids and grandkids, I want to tell you about how Turning Point Academy is working with the Herzog Foundation and how you at home can also benefit from it. They have an online publication called The Lion and also Making the Leap. The Herzog Foundation offers a wide range of advice and information for Christian parents to make the best education decisions for your kids. Go to herzogfoundation.com. That is herzogfoundation.com. So check it out right now, herzogfoundation.com. Portions of The Charlie Kirk Show are brought to you in part by the Stanley M. Herzog Foundation. That is herzogfoundation.com. Matt, somebody in the audience says that you need to make the next movie, What is a Baby?, as a sequel to What is a Woman? Because they certainly don't think the baby and the womb is a baby. Matt, walk through some of the recent news here. We have Europe that is banning puberty blockers, not Europe, but the United Kingdom, gender-affirming care. We have the WPATH documents leaked. And also there's a new study that confirms something you and I have known for quite some time, that surgical intervention actually doesn't help children when it comes to gender-affirming care or rapid-onset gender dysphoria. Matt Walsh.
Yeah, well, we're getting the kind of scientific confirmation of the thing that we didn't need science to confirm, because any rational person knows that when you sterilize children, when you chemically castrate them, that you're doing long-term damage to them. And it's not that the damage happens as a side effect. The damage is the quote-unquote medicine you're giving them. That's what it's intended to do, is the damage. It's only a question of how much damage and what other cascading effects will there be down the line. So we always knew that there would be quite a bit. But the problem is that early on, when they really started ramping up this campaign of child castration and mutilation, you know, 7-8 years ago, and they said, well, we're going to, you know, they announced the kind of plan to do this. And those of us who objected raised our objections. We were told, well, where are your studies? Where are the studies proving that we shouldn't do this? Where are the long-term studies proving that this will have a bad effect? Well, there were no long-term studies, because prior to that moment, nobody was insane enough to do that to children. So the bad news here is that although we have the studies that prove us right, the way we got the studies is by using an entire generation of children as the lab rats. Now the science is very clear. And I think that it's, you know, I think that at the very least, the assault on children by the gender ideologues, they're losing the battle. They've been losing it for years. They will lose it ultimately. I mean, I think we'll be looking at a situation, I don't know when exactly, but in several years' time at least, when this really isn't happening anywhere in the civilized world, because it's just not sustainable. It's so horrifying and it's so indefensible. You know, the other side, they have yet to come up with one semi-coherent argument to justify castrating a 12-year-old boy because he says he's a girl. Never been able to do it. And so it's only a matter of time. And I think the whole sort of house of cards is collapsing now.
It's all built on this Dutch study that is not even relevant to any of the children for multiple different reasons. And even the people who did the Dutch study can't believe that we are using the Dutch study to have the basis for chemical castration and gender mutilation. Matt, we have moved the Overton window on this. We are playing offense on it. We're banning it in states. Democrats are on the run. We have our activists that are educated on it. Matt, walk us through when that wasn't the case. When you were being sat, you were being attacked for this, that people thought it was a fringe issue. Walk us through the acceleration that this has gone through in the last couple of years.
Well, I think the primary thing that has helped us turn the tide on this issue, and the reason why I say we are now, although we haven't totally won, we are winning and we will win. But what we've been able to do on this issue is set the terms of the debate. You know, we have said, this is what we're going to talk about. This is the topic. There's a lot we could talk about when it comes to the trans agenda. There are a lot of other horrifying things they do, including what they do to adults, by the way, is also horrifying and shouldn't be allowed. But what we said is, we're going to start with this. We're talking about this, and you guys have to offer a justification. A 12-year-old boy goes into the gender clinic, gets castrated, explain to us why that is okay. And that has been the conversation. And as much as they've wanted to change the subject, they haven't been able to. I think we've been very focused. We've been on offense, and we've been very, like, you know, we know what the message is, and we've been message driven and disciplined on the message in a way that in other areas of the conservative movement, I think we have failed. But you see what happens when we have that kind of discipline on the messaging.
Matt, about 30 seconds. It's tough to answer in a short period of time. Is this a blueprint for how we should address abortion? Seems impossible, seems unpopular, and then all of a sudden we have breakthrough.
I think absolutely it is. For the reason I just said, you stay on offense. You do not let the other side define the terms of the debate. They don't tell you what aspects of this problem we're going to talk about. We tell you what we're going to talk about. And that's what we've done here. I think if you did it on abortion, it is a winnable issue. It's not something we win overnight, but it is winnable. And obviously, you know, the murder of children is just as horrifying, if not more, than what the trans ideologues are doing.
And it's more individuals. It's over 1 million a year. Matt, thank you for your great work. Thanks for having our back. We have your back. Matt Walsh, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.